members of the Writers Guild of America are on the verge of a strike that could shut down the American entertainment industry. You may ask, how can they tell? The writers who brew up the plots and speeches of West Wing, Law and Order, Frasier, Voyager, and several hundred other less clever dramas and sitcoms are threatening a work stoppage. One of the key issues is the amount of money writers get when their work is rerun on cable television or in overseas markets. Our entertainment critic Elvis Mitchell joins us from Los Angeles. Elvis, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Wait a second. I don't have a script here. What's your name again? Keep me alive.
All I can think to say is, you are the weakest link. Goodbye. Listen, Elvis, and that's what's going to pass for dialogue in a few weeks.
And there, entertainment, yes.
And entertainment. Now, the Los Angeles Times a few days ago said they thought the two sides were closer. Is that still true?
It seems to be, because the thing I'm hearing here is that nobody really wants a strike. The mayor just did a sort of a survey saying it could cost the city up to $7 billion if a strike goes through. And it would certainly damage the statewide economy. But the writers have a pretty big strike war chest available if they decide to go out. And there are issues that they feel are important to be dealt with, one of which actually deals with the networks. In fact, the Fox network and the WB, which pay writers lesser amounts for the scale than the networks do. And the feeling is that if Fox can make billions of dollars for football and hockey and NASCAR, then they can't pretend to not be a network anymore.
Are there other issues at stake we ought to know about? For example, overseas distribution.
Overseas distribution, certainly, again, scale with cable, too, because in 1988, the last time there was a strike, which lasted about 3 months, the writers kind of gave something back because they thought if they waited a few years, then there would be some kind of reciprocity, you know, that they would get something back from the cable industry, and that's not happened yet either. And suddenly now there are these huge revenue streams that come from video cassette and, you know, DVD and all these other places that just primarily aren't the residuals that you get from the sales to the networks or the box office grosses anymore. There are quite a few ways. In fact, box office grosses almost become kind of now the tail that wags the dog, and the writers want a part of that revenue.
I remember a number of years ago when there was what amounted to a work cessation in professional basketball. People kept saying, well, there's just too much money floating around for either side to really go out on strike. But sometimes that's just the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, and the writer's strike in 1988, and speaking of those other strikes, which kind of lost a bit of their momentum, those other areas after the strikes, rather, network television really suffered in 1988. After that strike, viewers started figuring, well, you know, I don't want to wait for the fall season to start in January or this kind of stuff. And as a result, they started going more to the video cassettes or to cable television. In fact, they kind of ensured that the networks lost audience, and the network audience has been down at least 10% since then and kind of been dwindling on a pretty regular basis ever since. And losing audience year after year for 13 years is a kind of a long and hard lesson to learn, you would think, but they're kind of determined that they're going to hold their ground.
Does that suggest that the studios are less equipped to withstand a strike of any length than the writers?
It's funny because the stories are that the studios are basically using this as an excuse to sort of do away with projects they don't want and shut down production companies and basically reduce their costs.
Of course, people have said that if there is going to be a writer's strike, that the so-called reality-based shows, be they Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or The Weakest Link or, for that matter, Dateline and the news magazines are going to proliferate even more. I wonder about the movie industry. This means there's going to be a proliferation of high-quality documentaries? Sorry, just thought I'd try.
You might want to read that line again, Scott. That was a very good delivery of that.
Thank you very much. I'm proud of it myself.
What I think it might mean is that it might be a very good year to have a movie at Sundance next year if there were to be a writer's strike and the network coffers suddenly empty. Because right now, for example, I think Julia Roberts is doing four pictures in a row, going from one to another because, of course, she needs the money. But yeah, more importantly, she's just trying to sort of hoard products. So in case there is a strike, there are movies coming out. The studios have quite a few things in production now. They're rushing to get stuff made so that they wouldn't be caught up by either the May 1st or the July 1st deadlines for both SAG and eventually the Writers Guild as well. They want to be ready for that.
Mm-hmm. Is the industry in less of a position to withstand a strike now that there's been some kind of downturn in the economy?
You would think so. And again, I think that's where the fear from certainly the city and state officials in Los Angeles and California are coming from, because a shutdown of an industry that provides a great deal of money in this state could really do a lot of damage to the economy here that's suffering its own kind of downturn. I just wonder, though, the writers are said to be, you know, one of the more radical organizations and basically the kind of people who do want to stand up and be counted. Mm-hmm. But you have people like Dick Wolfen doing Law and Order, who's doing extra episodes, and quite a few shows are trying to get extra episodes in the can. Between that kind of stuff and, of course, these reality shows, when the public will actually start to notice that there aren't any new shows, no new episodes of that clever show you pointed out, Voyager, among others, when the people actually start to see, or if they will care anymore.
Elvis, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Elvis Mitchell, our entertainment critic here on Weekend Edition, who also reviews movies for The New York Times.